Father, thank you that you teach us, that you tell us who you are and who we are. Please would you help us as we look at this part of your word to see something about who we are and to want to live that out in the week ahead, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder if you've noticed that one of the first questions people ask each other when they meet someone new is, so what do you do? It's a really interesting fact, isn't it, of modern life, that we seem to define ourselves and each other by what we do, rather than perhaps who we are. Perhaps it's just the easiest way of understanding someone you've just met to kind of put them in a box. What do they do for a living? What do they do in a normal week? I wondered if you instead would think, if someone asked you not what do you do, if they said, well, who are you? Can you imagine if someone you just met said that to you? You'd think they'd be pretty forward, wouldn't you? Who are you? No, never mind about what you do, what you work, that's no point. Who are you? What would you say? It's a really tricky question. And perhaps might get you kind of scratching your head, but yeah, well, who am I? Not really sure I know. Perhaps a natural thing to do would be to start perhaps talking about your family, or the place that you live, or what you love doing. Perhaps you're, you know, say, oh, well, I'm married to Susan, and I like walking and climbing. Perhaps to give someone real insight into who you are, you could show them pictures of things that matter to you. Here's a picture of me and my kids, or here's a picture of me and my dad, or here's a picture of my bike. Snapshots that don't sum up the whole picture, but give just a small insight into who you are. This morning, we're starting a new series in a different book of the Bible. This term up to the summer, we're going to be thinking about the New Testament letter of 1 Peter. And it's a book that is all about who we are. It's a book that helps the Christian believer to answer that question for themselves. Who am I? Here in this letter, we're not going to find one straight, easy answer, but again, different perspectives, snapshots, showing who we are. The letter then as a whole builds a picture of what it means to be a Christian and how people who follow Jesus live in the world. This morning, we're just going to spend our time looking at the first two verses, the opening greeting. Just help us to get our bearings and as we see how Peter starts his letter. This is the Apostle Peter writing, the one we know from the Gospels, and he's writing to Christians he's never met. He doesn't know them very well, but he does know who they are. See, he can say with confidence who they are because they follow Jesus. So let's go back to chapter 1, verse 1, and here we're going to find lots to help us answer that question, who am I? As we're just going to look at the first couple of verses, we don't need to divide up the passage. We're just going to take four brief snapshots that build up a picture of who we are. So the first one is that a Christian is someone who is chosen. Chosen. Peter starts his letter here by describing who he's writing to, and in the second verse, he focuses on who these people are to God. Have a look at verse 1, and we'll go just into the first bit of verse 2 as well. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. Peter here is writing to groups of early Christian believers, not just one church, but scattered throughout the area of the Roman world that is now known as Turkey. There's no one nation here, there's no one language or culture that united or held together this group of people, except the one thing they have in common is that they're followers of the Lord Jesus. And so Peter can then go on and talk about what they've got in common, how who they are to God. The first thing he picks out for us here is that they are chosen. Chosen by God the Father. This is how he puts it in the first bit of verse 2. who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Chosen, picked, or selected. The idea here is that a Christian is someone upon whom God the Father has set his love. Throughout this letter, Peter is going to talk about things that are chosen by God. Each time we come across something, the idea has as its opposite the idea of being rejected. Right there are the two options, chosen or to be rejected. So here, when he calls Christians chosen, he's majoring on a positive idea that God has loved and chosen a people for himself. That even if the world has rejected them, they are a people who are precious to God. When we go on holiday as a family, we can't afford the space for the kids to take all of their soft toys and teddies. We're at that one stage with them. And the difficult choices need to be taken by the kids as to which teddies get taken with them and which they're going to be left behind. I'm sure they'd often gladly leave each other or a brother or sister behind if it meant more space for the kind of teddies, but some have to be chosen, some are left behind. The ones that are chosen are precious ones, the favourites, the ones with history, the ones with attachment, the ones that the kids have a real fondness for. See, being a chosen teddy is just a measure of how special that toy is. It's amazing here how Peter, the first way that he talks about Christians, is to say that they are chosen by God. It's meant to underscore the fact that God the Father cherishes and cares and knows his own people. Peter goes on to tell us what's behind God's choosing of some people to be precious to him. He says it's according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Peter's telling us here what motivates God's choosing a people. It's important for us to see what's behind God's choice here. See, he says that Christians are those who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. That means that God chooses those who are in his plan, who are in his foreknowledge, that plan that he has always had since before the beginning of time. It's important because it means that we're no better, or because a Christian is perhaps a good kind of person, that they are chosen. They're simply chosen because of God's kind and gracious plan. Also, it's not the case that God kind of chooses those who he knows will one day respond to him, as if he kind of looks ahead to which people will trust in him, because then it wouldn't be his choice, but rather be down to, again, our being good, the right kind of people. You see, Peter's first snapshot of what a Christian is to show us God the Father in eternity past, a kind God with a plan to choose for himself out of the world a people, people to be loved, prized, and to belong to him. This first snapshot then is meant to be a huge encouragement to these Christians. They were scattered and exiled in a place that they didn't belong. They certainly would feel at times like they didn't fit in the world where they found themselves. But they could take encouragement that no matter how their lives in the world were going, they were known and loved and chosen by God their Father. So that's the first picture that Peter gives of who we are, if we're followers of the Lord Jesus. But what difference does being chosen actually make to the daily lives of these believers? How does that make a difference? Well, to see that, we need to move on to our second picture. And that's to see that in the next bit of verse 2, a Christian is set apart. Set apart. In the next bit of verse 2, Peter goes on to explain what difference being chosen by God makes to people's lives. Have a look at verse 2, and we'll just go to about halfway through. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So if the focus of that first picture was God the Father, here Peter moves on to think about God the Holy Spirit and what he does in the life of someone who follows the Lord Jesus. And here he says that God's people are those who are changed through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That's as much to say that they are people in whom God's Spirit has done a work, done something important, do something special. We need to think a little bit together about this jargon word, sanctifying. It's one of those Bible words that we could easily kind of trot past and not be completely sure what it means. It's the same idea as saint or holy, sanctuary. And sanctifying means to set something apart. To sanctify something means to kind of take it out of what is ordinary or common and to set it apart as special. In our utility room at home, we have a special fork. It's a special fork because I would never use it to eat my tea. And the reason is that it's just the right size and shape to unclog the drain at the back of the house, which gets a bit mucky from time to time. It's not a nice job, and it needs a tool that's set apart just for that job. I'm not going to go to the cutlery drawer to reach out a normal knife or fork to do that job. You can actually easily say that that fork is special, it's set apart for that job. You could even say that it's holy or sanctified. In fact, we have sanctified it by setting it apart as special, only for that job. That's the idea that Peter is getting at here. A Christian is someone who has been set apart, who has been sanctified. Not, in this case, to do a different job to other people, but who is set apart for God. God sets people apart, he sanctifies people by his Holy Spirit. What that means is that it happens when, through the invisible work of God, his Holy Spirit enables people to hear his word and then to understand the gospel and to believe in him. That's what Peter will then go on next week to talk about as the new birth that we heard in our reading. It means that someone who's enabled to respond to God in faith becomes different. Not different because they're better than other people, but different because they're set apart for God, now trusting in him, now following him, now one of God's people, taken out of the normal and made special to God. A Christian is someone who is set apart. So that's the second snapshot of what a Christian is or who a Christian is. But Peter then goes on to explain in the third picture what that set apart is for, what that setting apart is for. So why? Why does God choose? Why does he set apart? What's the purpose of that? Well, to see that, we need to go on in the rest of verse 2. And Peter's answer is so that they might belong to Jesus. Might belong to Jesus. Have a look with me at verse 2 and we'll read through down to the end of the first section there. Christians are those who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Peter picks out two things to do with Jesus here, to be obedient to Jesus and to be sprinkled with his blood. What he's doing is reaching back into the Old Testament to pick up a picture that describes a relationship with Jesus here. Here he has in mind a relationship where people obey to be obedient to Jesus Christ and are sprinkled with blood. It might sound a bit strange and weird to our modern ears, but in the ancient world it was a language that describes a covenant relationship, a bond between two people or two parties. It would be a relationship that was cemented in a ceremony that then involved blood. When I got married, I stopped just being me on my own and I entered into a special relationship, a bond. I belong to Susan now and she belongs to me in a way that we didn't before. And that's what these two elements here, obedience and sprinkling, talk about. They describe the fact that a Christian is someone who belongs to Jesus. As Peter describes it here, there's two sides to that. One is that we obey Jesus. That means we listen to his ways and his commands and we seek to follow him. It means that we see that his ways are good and we try and bring our lives in line with them. The second side is that belonging to Jesus is that we are forgiven. That's what's meant by the sprinkling with blood. Jesus shed his blood on the cross to pay for sin, to purchase forgiveness for everyone who belongs to him, because we never get the obeying bit of the relationship completely right. Two signs of what it means to belong to Jesus. So far, Peter has shown us three brief pictures of who we are. A follower of Jesus is someone who is chosen by God the Father, set apart by God the Spirit, and who belongs in relationship to the Lord Jesus. That's who we are. If we are Christian, that is our identity. So far then, these three pictures have all been focused on God and who we are before him. But for the final one that we're going to look at, Peter stops looking upwards to God and shows us who a Christian is in the world, how they fit in the world around them. And Peter's final snapshot, we're just going to look at now, says that a Christian is someone who does not belong in the world, who does not belong. As people who are chosen and set apart and belong to Jesus, we might expect that all of that changes how we fit in this world. And that's what Peter shows us in the way he describes these believers in verse 1. Have a look, another look at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter describes God's people here as exiles, foreigners, those who are exiled away from where they truly belong, now living in a land that is not their home, where they are not citizens, or as some of the Bibles that you might have in front of you put it, strangers in the world. Again, Peter is picking up an Old Testament idea to help explain who we are. Exile in the Old Testament is when God's people were sent far away from their home in Jerusalem to live in a strange and different culture in Babylon. That might be familiar to you from the book of Daniel. If you remember the Bible character Daniel, who finds himself living in a culture in which he did not belong. Perhaps that's a feeling that many of you can recognise. It's fairly obvious, isn't it, as we were thinking about the children before, that when you go on holiday to somewhere, you know that you're somewhere that you don't quite fully belong. On holiday in a foreign country, we quickly recognise they do things differently, don't they? It's actually what makes a holiday quite nice sometimes, isn't it? To be refreshed and be somewhere different and interesting, and then you're ready to come home at the end of it. And you know you don't belong when you see locals eating things you wouldn't dream of going near. And some things you can happily join in with, and some things you can't. Peter says that a Christian is someone who does not belong in the world. We are exiles, strangers in the world. Of course, if we're chosen by God to belong to Jesus, then we can't belong anymore to the world around us. And that means that as God's people, we should naturally find ourselves not going along with everything in culture. Yes, there's lots that we can join in with, but when we know that some things don't please God and are not obeying Jesus, then we can't join in. See, it's right that a Christian can't just go along with everything that a culture does. For us, that will mean we need to think about how we spend our money, how we treat people, what we watch on TV, what we look at on the internet, how we behave at work. God's people don't belong in this world. And Peter's saying it's okay if we feel like we don't fit. In fact, that's normal for God's people. See, on the flip side of that, if we find ourselves going along with everything in this world, if we're no different, well then we need to remember, don't we, that as God's people we now belong to another. We have been set apart, chosen to belong to the Lord Jesus. So let me leave you with that question, who am I? It's a tricky one, and it's perhaps one that we should spend a bit of time in the week ahead thinking through. But Peter gives us a rich answer that the Christian can take on for themselves here. It's not a simple answer, but it is real. You see, who am I is a question that a Christian can answer with confidence, saying, from what we've seen this morning, I belong to Jesus, and I do not belong to this world. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for all your kindness and goodness to us. How we thank you so much that we see that goodness in eternity past in your kind plan. And we see that plan being worked out in history to choose a people for yourself. Please help us to more and more see who we are because of what you've done for us in Jesus. And please will you help us to think of ourselves in the world rightly in a way that honours you because of that. We pray that for his sake. Amen.